The midnight hour has not come yet. So what do we do in the meantime? That's the question that I think we all need to ask. Brother Allen has said, be watchful, be ready. What does that mean? What do we do in the meantime? That's the message title for today. Turn, if you would, to the book of James. And in just a moment, we'll be reading a passage from there. That'll be our springboard. We'll be going to a variety of scriptures. But the message today is dramatically different. It's different because there's really going to be a panel discussion. Now, there won't be a panel up here. There are going to be four people helping to communicate the body of this message. I'll have an outline, but then you'll hear from four dads who will be sharing as we look at how we can be living our lives in the process of getting ready for what God is going to do. I want you to meet those folks, and I want you to hear some of the joys they have in being a dad. Direct your attention to the screens, if you would, please.
Hello, I'm Jake Stumm. I'm married to Marika Stumm. We have three boys. Luke is our oldest. He's 12. Vismay is our middle son. He's 9. Adopted from India, and Dosan is our youngest son from Ethiopia, and he just turned 8. So three boys, crazy household.
My name is Matt Ryerson. I'm married to Heather. Together we have 4 children, Jackson, Chloe, Gabby, and Elsie.
I'm T-Roy Jones. I'm married to Jenny Jones. We have 3 daughters who are married, and we have 7 grandchildren.
I'm Stephen Beasley, married to Amy. We have 3 children, Mary Evelyn, John, and Charlotte. And just found out we have 1 on the way.
My greatest joy in being a dad is that they're all young enough that I can still beat them in almost any sports game, any game. I mean, I can swat their shot and say, get out of my house, and really make them feel terrible. I'm just kidding. My greatest joy in being a dad is seeing them succeed, I think. And that could be in any arena of life. So, you know, when the light comes on for them, if it's something spiritual or in school, if they get it and we helped coach them through, if we helped kind of nudge them in the right direction to see them succeed at any level, is really, I think, what brings me the most joy in parenting.
Childhood giggles, cuddle time, bedtime stories, tucking them in at night, hugs when I get home from work, when you see your children act as the hands and feet of Christ, to watch that come out in them is powerful. When they show kindness and love and treat others with respect, particularly in times where it's least expected, is an incredible joy.
Well, being a dad is just a joy in itself. Watching your children being born, see them grow up. One of the greatest things is just seeing them come to the Lord and you being a part of that. Meeting their husbands and then seeing the grandchildren that they produce, it's just been a great joy to me all of these years.
I think one of the greatest parts about being a dad is when you see your children succeed in things that you feel like God created them to do or be. It's neat to watch Mary Evelyn grow into her personality and to see how God has already started to shape her heart. The same thing with John, his personality is totally different. He's a different person. His joys are different than Mary Evelyn's joys. And even Charlotte, even though she's 2, we are even able to notice a little bit about who she's becoming. And watching your children grow up, being a part of those things, and seeing how God has formed them uniquely is just a really joyful thing. It tells me a lot about who God is. It tells me a lot about who they're going to be. When our kids do things where they shine, they show who they've become, it's a great joy for Amy and I to see how God is already growing them and to see them do well. And really one of the greatest joys as a dad is seeing the smile and the excitement on Amy's face when our children do things that are good things. And so it's an indirect joy, but it's wonderful for our marriage and it's wonderful for our children and the way the entire family unit all works together.
As far as I know, the rapture has not yet come. Now, Brother Allen isn't here. I did talk to him on Friday, and so I know he was here then. However, as we think about what we're going to do before that time comes, turn again to the book of James, chapter 5, and we want to spring from these three verses to look at some points very briefly, but then to hear more from these dads. And as these dads talk, I want you to understand, these are not just principles for us as dads. These are principles for every single one of us. The context of all of these verses is the soon and imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at them, there are going to be 5 points, and I'm going to hit those quickly. Then we're going to hear more from these dads, and then we're going to wrap it up with 3 challenges for you today. So James chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And then turn over just a couple of pages to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, and look at what this says about this scenario as well. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. If we take that time frame of the Lord, being some 2,000 years since he was here, it's only been 2 days from his perspective. It is something that he has delayed, and look at why he's delayed it in verse 9. It says that all can come to repentance. He's not just doing that because that's what he wants to do in the scope of time. He's doing that because he wants us to be busy about drawing other people to him, because he uses people to reach out to others. So as we think about this, now flip back to the passage in James, and let's look at the first few of these characteristics from this particular passage. The first one is, as we think about these 5 points, number one, be steadfast. Look at James 5:8. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Strengthen your hearts. This is another way of saying be purposeful. Do you remember what Daniel did as he was challenged to eat a kind of food that he knew he should not? The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food. Do you remember what Jesus did when he turned toward Jerusalem? The Bible says that he turned his face toward Jerusalem, and resolutely he went there knowing he was going to the cross, and nothing was going to change that. This means have convictions, not just preferences. Do you know the difference between a preference and a conviction? A preference is something that you hold. A conviction is something that holds you. What are your convictions? What is your steadfastness in regard to God's word? Be steadfast. Number two, be kind. Look down at verse 9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. In the meantime, be kind. Now again, we dads sometimes have a difficult time doing that. And the challenge, though, is not just to dads. The context again, of every one of these passages is, how can we live our lives knowing that the coming of the Lord is soon before us, even though it may not be as quickly as we might anticipate? Number one, be steadfast. Number two, be kind. Number three, be pure. Turn again back over to the right to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, and look at what this says as we think about this whole idea and concept of purity. Chapter 3, verse 11. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? This is what God is challenging us to be. Turn over a little bit further to the right to 1 John chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3, and see what they have to say about this, again in the context of the coming day of the Lord. Beloved, now we are a children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. It's a commitment that we need to make as dads, but also as believers, that we're going to be pure. Not perfect, but pure. A challenge that we have laid out before us. As we think about this and as we ponder this, we have a role as dads. We need to be models as dads, but also every one of us as believers. As the panel discussion continues, listen to what these dads have to say about being roles and models for their children.
I think the most important thing I do as a dad has a lot to do with my focused attention on them. And maybe one of the most important things really is more to do with blocking out all of the other things.
It's cliche, the cliche answer, but it's time. All three of my boys love my time as a dad. I'm gone a decent amount of time, but I know as my responsibility is to give that time with them. And good quality time, you know, where we're engaged in conversation.
I'm not just father, but I'm daddy. I'm the protector, the one that makes them feel safe, the fun one, the disciplinarian, the encourager. I am the guy you jump on when he's not looking.
I was an only child, and I didn't quite have many girls around me, and God sent me three daughters. And I learned how to hug and do kisses, and I learned how to, what little girls need from their dad.
The important thing in our house with our kids has a lot to do with being emotionally in tune with what their needs are and what their heart is, caring about the things they care about. And so a lot of times that looks a lot more like jumping on the trampoline, or coloring a picture, putting the cell phone down, and just being able to tune in with where they are and help coach and lead and enjoy being together.
Jenny and I, before we married, we decided we'd make our crisis center of our home. In fact, we did it at First Baptist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee, first time I was ever there. And we made that pledge. And so through the years, I've tried to be a model husband, a model father. I sometimes when children, you have to have some discipline, but I sprinkled that with a lot of mercy.
Modeling Christ-like behavior. I think for my daughter, modeling how a man should treat her in her life. For my son, modeling how he should treat women in his life. How to accept disappointments, which I don't always do well, but making efforts to model Christ-like behavior, I think, is key.
My brothers and I have been some of the lucky boys to see a dad model Christ at home. And I try to do the same thing with our kids, because I know that their sense of who God is comes from how I treat them, just like I view God the Father to be a lot like my father.
It's a great responsibility to teach them how to live their faith. Not just the at-home spiritual things, but how does your faith interact at school, and how does your faith engage in life?
We all have a responsibility to do the things that point our children towards Christ. And that's not easy, and a lot of that I figure out. A lot of that I've learned because my dad was a great example there. I'm one of the lucky folks that has a great image of who God is by looking at my own father. And so I think dads have the responsibility to pass the faith along to our children, and especially to my son, who will hopefully be doing that in his family one day.
Today, they call me dad still, but yet we have a great friendship with each other, with our daughters and their husbands and our grandchildren. It's just like, it's just a great experience we have, and because we know where we're all going to end up in eternity.
Be steadfast, be kind, be pure. There's a role that we have as dads and as believers, and there's a life that we're to model as dads and believers. Number four, Hebrews chapter 10, flip back a few pages to the left, verses 24 and 25. talk about this particular challenge as the Lord's day of return draws near. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir as you're here in church, but listen to what this says about being at church. Sometimes you might hear the main reason you come is to hear preaching and to worship the Lord, and indeed it is. But look at what this passage says in relation to gathering together in corporate worship or with one another. It says that we encourage one another and we build one another up. That doesn't happen so greatly in worship as it does in small groups. That's where people hear your hurts and your needs and your disappointments and your heartaches and your joys, and that's where you can be encouraged. That's why we believe it's so important that you're engaged in some small groups. So coming to church for us is not just coming to a worship service, but it's being a part of a small group as well. So be steadfast, be kind, be pure, be faithful in church. And then the last one, 1 Peter 4, 7. Flip over there to the right just a little bit as we look at this last characteristic and then hear what these dads have to say about that. 1 Peter 4, 7 makes this statement: the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. We've talked a lot about prayer in the last 18 to 24 months in our church, had new challenges before us, and yet that's always a struggle. As we think about this issue, it's so important to understand that there's sort of two parts for us as dads. There are also two parts for us as believers. Number one, we need to be prayed for as dads, and we need to pray for our children. As believers, we need to be prayed for, and we need to pray for others. Listen as these dads talk about how we can pray for them and how we can pray for children and apply it to your life, whether it's in family or whether it's in your relationships with the people around you. Check this out.
Well, I didn't have a very good reputation with the guys, I understand, when my girls were dating. But usually one of the things I did is first time a young man dated one of my daughters, I would always bring him into the house, and then I'd take my daughter, sit her in my lap, and tell him how much I loved her and for him to be sure he'd bring her home safely. And I did that with all three of my girls when they dated, and that seemed to work.
Having three boys, you're going to pray as a dad. You know, probably no matter what stage your spiritual life's in, you're going to pray because they're getting older, and it just it makes you pray.
You know, there's not a single dad that's got it all figured out, and I think that wisdom is probably top of the list for every father. Just as you're praying for dads, as I'm praying for myself, the more wisdom and understanding that can come from heaven, the better strengthened and better prepared I feel just to face the day's challenges and the future with our kids.
Sometimes it feels like rote memory or repetition, but to really spend time and explain to them what prayer is, that it's a conversation and not just a memorization. Spend time in the Word, in the Bible, talking about Scripture and what that Scripture means to us as parents, and then to me as a father, and what it means to them as children. To try and make that conversational rather than just lecturing to the children, that it's a relationship with the Lord, and those are all opportunities to speak to and to study and to get closer and to develop that relationship.
Fathers need to learn to love on their children. I mean, hugs and kisses and that type of thing. That was a hard thing for me to learn.
Praying for dads to be daddies. I think men in general are really good at being the stoic leaders, disciplinarians, breadwinners of the home. That seems to come naturally to us. I think to be daddy and love on our children and cuddle with our children and spend time with our children, just listening to their hearts, maybe not as natural for many of us. So to pray for that patience and the discernment of when to speak and when to fix and when to sit back and listen and just enjoy the time. I think that's a powerful prayer.
Praying for us as a dad, it's just balance, you know, trying to figure out how to balance. Everybody complains in our society about being busy. Everybody complains about being overwhelmed. And you probably could ask every dad. I think every dad would probably give a similar answer. And if you're going to have to sacrifice, it's really difficult for dads sometimes to say, I'm going to sacrifice money, or I'm going to sacrifice in the marketplace so that I can be a better dad. But I think there's seasons where we have to be mature enough to make that sacrifice and say, okay, I'm going to give my best at home. Because I think it's too easy for us to say, oh, I'm going to give my best at work, I'm going to give my best to everybody else, and then just give leftovers to our family.
Well, you need to pray for, ask God for direction. You know, the scripture speaks of the path we walk. Every one of us has a path that God wants us to walk in, and we need to find that path. And we can do that by our relationship with Christ. And I encourage my son-in-laws and to have devotion with their family, which they do. I think it's just something that we need to let people know that we're part of God's family, and we need to treat family members equally.
Something that we try and do in our home is we try to have fun. That family is a safe place. It's a fun place. It's a place that they will always want to go home to. The fun element shouldn't be overlooked.
So I would say that you ought to be praying for fathers to just love their children and be a model for them, so they can depend upon them.
Pray for patience, peace. Be good. Dads need a lot of prayer, man. They need a lot of prayer. So we could go down a long list of things that we could be praying for daddies on.
Amen. Dads need a lot of prayer. So do we as believers. You know, every one of these things requires work. Every one of these characteristics that we need to develop requires work. Maybe you've heard the saying, pray as if it all depends upon God, work as if it all depends upon you. I fear the problem with all of us today is we don't do either one of those. We don't pray and we don't work hard. Paul said, I buffet my body. One of the times when I first read that, I thought it said, I buffet my body. I do that a little too often. But as we think about this, it's a challenge. It's a discipline that we need to live out in our lives. Why is God delaying? Because we have things that we need to be developing in our own lives, but also because there are people who still don't know, people who still have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. What are we doing about that? I want you to listen as Jake talks about a unique scenario in their family.
One of the things that's unique to our story and our experience is the adoption process, and we've adopted two of our boys. And I think that what I love about that is what's happened in our hearts. Sometimes people will say, you know, your boys are so lucky. And that's really bothers both me and America, because we're the lucky ones. Like, we're the ones through the adoption process. When you read the Gospels and you see how Jesus accepted us as strangers and foreigners and loves us like his own children, our Abba, Father, when you adopt, that becomes so vivid to you, because you feel like, I felt my heart go from, I'm holding this stranger, this foreigner to me, and my heart changed over a period of months to the love of a father for a son. And that shift is something that I value, that helps me, I think, understand the way that God loves everybody.
Three challenges today for you. Have you been adopted into God's family? Are you here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord of your life? Did you know that in biblical times, parents could disown legally a natural child, but they could not legally disown an adopted child? Think about what that meant to the folks in the time that was written. Once you are into the family, you're in forever. You cannot be discarded. Are you in that family? Have you invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be the Savior and Lord of your life? If not, we challenge and encourage you to do that now or over the next few moments, and I'll come back to that in just a minute. The second challenge is obviously related to fathers. Is there a recommitment or a first-time commitment, dads, that you need to make to these five principles? Being steadfast, being kind, being pure, being faithful in church, and being a prayerful dad. Maybe that's a thing that you need to do today. Moms, maybe you need to recommit to being a prayerful mom. Students, young people, single people, maybe you need to commit to that. But the last commitment may be the most practical one that I want to talk to you about today. You have inside or had inside your worship guide something like this, a home point plan. Would you get that out and look at it for just a moment, please? We felt that Father's Day would be a fantastic day to launch Home Point Ministry. Maybe you noticed that as you were out in the commons area. If not, I want to ask you, this is a part of the invitation, as you leave today, go by there and check out the resources that are there for you. Not just for dads, that's a beginning, and I'll talk more about that in just a second. But this is a tool. You're not going to turn this in. You're not going to put your name on it. It's just for you and you individually, or you and your wife, or you and your family. But this is really an appraisal of where you are as an individual believer in your family. And it's geared for parents and grandparents. It's geared for single people. Look at that. Marriage, faith at home, single adults, my children and grandchildren, and my future marriage. This is just a tool, and this tool will be something we'll be encouraging you to reuse about every 3, 4, or 6 months to reevaluate continually. You know, Scripture says, examine yourself as to where you are. A great tool for that. And then the insert card that's inside that folder is a way for you to develop a 120-day plan for your family as to how you're going to address spiritual needs that your family has. Our goal at First Baptist Cleveland is that every home be a godly home. And it's not just a home with 10 or 12 people, it's homes that are single individual homes as well. But that home be a godly home, and that tool will help you to do that. There are tons of resources down there. Whether your family's in great shape or whether your family's struggling, I promise you there's something for you there to make your family better. Go by there. And there's a little incentive for that today. For every man here, we want you to pick one of these four books and take it with you to use in your walk with the Lord. One is by Tony Dungy, Playbook for an Uncommon Life. One is How God Makes Men by Patrick Morley. Both of those can be for dads or for single individuals. And the other two that can be more specifically for dads, The Dad in the Mirror, also by Patrick Morley along with David Delk, and Raising a Modern Day Knight by Robert Lewis. You can go pick one of these up. We want you to do that on your way out. We want you to check out Home Point, but not just today. I mean, you're going to see an unbelievable number of resources there that are available to you to make your family a more equipped family to be all that God would have you to be. That's the final challenge. Now back to that first challenge about being adopted into God's family. If you don't know for certain that you're a believer, you could seal that today. Not because of anything other than what God's word says, because he says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You can do that. Whether you're here today as an unbeliever or as a believer, there's a commitment for you to make, a challenge is laid out before you. How will you respond to that challenge? Would you pray with me, please? Father, I want to thank you for your word more than anything else. I also want to thank you for the words of these men who struggle just like all of us do as dads, but also who struggle just like all of us do as believers. Thank you for their stories that we've heard today. Father, there may be somebody here today that doesn't know you as the Savior and Lord of their life. I pray that they would voice a prayer something like this, even right now. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and forgive me of my sin. God, I don't know how that can happen. But right now, I place my trust in you. I invite your Son into my heart to be my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, will you come into my heart at this very moment? I ask in your name, Father, and in your Son's name, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray if there's anyone here today that voiced that prayer or desires to do so, that they would let us know about it in some way, either in just a moment as we have a responsive invitation to people, inviting them to respond to you. Lord, as dads need to recommit, I pray they'd be willing to come and pray. They don't have to do that, but I believe it's a bold statement if they're willing to do that. Father, for dads to be committed and moms to be committed, single or married, to develop a plan for their life, for their family, to make themselves available to these resources. Would you work in that way by the power and the authority and your Holy Spirit? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.